This is Moolah La, Money Made Simple, brought to you in part by EQ Bank, banking simplified. Visit our site for a link, podcasts.moolala.ca. Do a Google image search for the word retirement, and the image you will see over and over and over again is that of two lawn chairs. Not one, but two, and mostly on a beach. Now, sometimes there's a gray-haired man and a gray-haired woman in the shot too, but almost always two chairs, even without people. And yet, according to Statistics Canada, there are over 12 million Canadians living on their own, and the number is growing year after year after year. So, what does that have to do with your finances? Amy Dietz-Graham is a portfolio manager and an investment advisor at BMO Private Wealth. She joins us now.
Hi.
The stereotype is, it's quite pronounced. When I did that search to see, like, what's the message that the market is sending out there, it's two people. And yet those are not the facts. What is different for Canadians who are living solo?
Well, if you think about single for a second, it's single comes in so many different shapes and sizes today, right? So you're single, maybe with kids. You're single, maybe looking after an older parent. Single doesn't mean you're on your own completely.
Yep.
So I think that needs to be kind of clear when we're talking about retirement planning. It's not just one person sometimes in that picture still.
And it could be you're single and you have been your whole life. It could be you're widowed and widowed recently.
Correct.
It could be you're divorced and divorced recently.
You got
There's so much nuance. What are some of the challenges that a single person would face that someone in a couple might not?
There's a few. So first off, you got to think you don't have that second income. So when you're starting out and you're in your career, perhaps you're looking at buying a house. You don't have that second income to lean on in case something happens. Mm. What if your career, you have to find a new job? You don't have that buffer. So sometimes you're shouldering a lot of the cost on your own shoulders when you're alone. Also looking at, what if you become ill and you're on your own? So looking at insurance tends to be a little more of a priority when you're not in that couple situation. Again, you're shouldering the brunt of that, those expenses.
What are the things that folks should be thinking about when it comes to an estate plan? And acknowledging that there's 12,000 variables here, but just as a broad question, single Canadians think about that a little bit differently.
Well, a lot of times you meet with somebody single and it's kind of, well, you know, it's just me. And then you ask the question, but what would your final word be? Maybe you've amassed a certain net worth. You probably have somebody in your life that's special in terms of maybe family members.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a special charity. Maybe there's a pet, like we chatted about some time ago. There might be something. And so it's just having that conversation to say, how would I tie things up? And what would I like to say as my final word?
What are the retirement implications? I mean, I know tangibly as you do that calculation, you've got, you know, the desired income, and if it's two people who are working, they're both contributing to that nest egg in some way. What are some things that single Canadians need to think about that couples do not?
Well, you hit the nail on the head in the beginning too, that single can look so different. So somebody that's in retirement and single, they've had to save a certain amount on their own. And in case emergencies have come up, they want to make sure they've set aside things like that. But also we're seeing retirees. I was talking to one yesterday, newly retired, but caring for mom. Now she's got a big expense on her plate looking after her mother. And her concern is, what happens to me if I end up in a long-term care facility?
Right.
What are the real costs that I need to start paying attention of? And the issue is sometimes when you have these conversations so late in life, especially when it comes to insurance, you would have been better off having those discussions earlier on because the cost of insurance would have been lower back then.
One of the things at BMO that you focus on is what you call a goal-based wealth plan. What does that actually mean? It sounds like great marketing phraseology, but what does that mean?
It's really about the individual person. I think sometimes when people think financial plan, they get overwhelmed with a lot of these numbers and what is that going to look like? But it's really specific to the individual. So the woman I spoke to yesterday, it's very specific in terms of the cost around her mother's her long-term care. She's got issues in terms of siblings and looking after them, some financial burden with them. So it's really specific to her unique need and her goals in terms of what her retirement's supposed to look like.
The StatsCan numbers showed more women were living solo than men, but it wasn't as big a split as I personally would have thought, but it is more statistically. That is also relevant in that many women who are in heterosexual relationships tend to take a step back from the investment part of financial life, not necessarily daily financial life, but the investment part of it. When you think about the single clients that you are working with who are women, how do you encourage them to engage? Do you need to encourage them to engage differently? Or because they're on their own, they already know how to operate a screwdriver and unclog the sink and all the stuff because they don't have an expectation that there's some dude around who's going to help them on those gendered tasks.
Women tend to be quite good at planning, especially when they sit down and have the conversation, because they can immediately start to say, well, what are their priorities? They're very good at articulating the things that they have on their mind. And usually if children's in the picture, it's their education, because that comes before retirement. Then it's kind of the longer term plan. So they're very good at having those deep, detailed conversations. And then our job is to really pull the numbers into place to build that picture out.
For listeners who are in this enormous segment of the population, what are some of the best tools and resources out there for them?
I would say the easiest thing to do is to talk to somebody, especially if you're single. It's getting a different perspective and having someone as a sounding board to bounce those ideas off of. So sitting down and saying, here's my situation, here's what my personal goals are, my family dynamics and things that are important to me, and laying it all out on the table.
And there are, extraordinary examples more and more so these days, because people are taking charge and creating extraordinary futures in the absence of that traditional, spouse and picket fence and all that kind of
you
stuff.
You got it.
If you had one call to action for our listeners who are in that demographic, what would you say it is?
I would say start looking at your situation earlier, because the power of compounding, even saving a little amount, if you're on your own, maybe you're single, maybe you won't be in the future, maybe you will be. But by having those conversations early, especially around the insurance conversation and setting up a savings plan, you're going to be miles and miles ahead of your peers.
Amy, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Go single Canadians! Amy Dietz-Graham, portfolio manager and investment advisor at BMO Private Wealth.